Welcome to The Week in Geek. I'm Todd Bishop.
And I'm John Cook.
On this week's episode, we are remembering Paul Allen and looking ahead to the future of the many institutions and ventures that he leaves behind. The Microsoft co-founder passed away this week at the age of 65. John, what are your impressions of Paul Allen's life as you look back on what he built, both in his first act at Microsoft and also his second act in many, many different areas?
Yeah, a lot of different thoughts that come to mind because Paul Allen had a lot of different facets to his life and personality and his interests. And so what comes to mind is kind of a scattershot, shotgun thought process. It's hard to pin down exactly one thing that really defined him. I mean, as a lot of people have noted, loved music, great guitarist, built Mopop, obviously Microsoft and technology, brain science, sports teams,
artificial intelligence, movies,
art,
cinerama.
I mean, it's so varied and all over the map. So Nick Wingfield, the great Seattle tech journalist who now works at The Information, I think I saw a tweet from him, and it's something I've always thought about when it relates to Paul Allen. And it's that he has all these different interests. And if you were a billionaire, isn't this kind of what you would do? I mean, this is kind of what I would do if I was a billionaire in his shoes. I would own sports teams. I would have great artwork. I would invest in science and engineering and education and all these things he did, you know? And so I think that's the mystery of Paul Allen to some degree, is that he was probably like how many of us would be. He was kind of this quiet, unassuming personality, and he had this very lavish, kind of ridiculous lifestyle at times.
Right. He owned three yachts at one point, a submarine. He would go to the far reaches of the earth, and he'd play on the boat with Mick Jagger. And you know, he basically lived this celebrity life.
Yeah. I mean, I love history. You know, this idea that he would send his submarine down to discover these World War II battleships that had been sunken. And you know, it's like, that's cool, right?
So here's the thing, and this is why the reporting on his death is so fascinating, because it really has not made national news. It wasn't really the kind of topic that would be on CNN at night. Whereas Bill Gates, if Bill Gates passed away or when he passes away, it will no doubt be huge national news that would, you know, basically overshadow pretty much anything else that's going on. That was not the case with Paul Allen.
That doesn't surprise me. Actually, we had CNN or one of the news sites on yesterday, trying to see how the story was going to play on the national news media, and it didn't surprise me because Paul Allen was so far removed from Microsoft for so long that a lot of people kind of forgot him, you know, to many degrees, and then his interests were so all over the map that he really had a tremendous impact in the Northwest. And so I think this really resonates in our backyard here of Seattle. But nationally, I don't think many people – I think most people probably knew he was the co-founder of Microsoft and maybe owned some sports teams, but didn't really know anything else about him versus Bill Gates, as you said. Everyone, I think, has a definition or thought about Bill Gates that goes deeper than just being a very rich tech billionaire.
He was also, Paul Allen, very private and almost reclusive. He was somebody who did not mix with the public at public events. I actually had a behind-the-scenes experience with him.
Gates would be on you know, national TV shows. You didn't really see that with Paul Allen. It's just great. I mean, you did get the opportunity to interview him, I think, in perhaps the most important and deep dives into his life, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Back
was
in
it?
2011.
So it's been
7 years now.
It's an amazing interview, and everyone should listen to it if you want to hear a little bit more about what Paul Allen is like.
Right. We actually published that in the podcast feed on the GeekWire podcast earlier this week for folks to listen to. I remember that town hall experience, and it was such a window into his personality, because it started, we met his band downstairs. Of course, he has his band walk around, you know, just hanging out with him, and Grown Men, I think, was their name at the time. And then we went upstairs into the green room and we were chatting, and he had only recently recovered from his first bout with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And so he was still relatively frail, I remember. And for some reason, the route that we needed him to take would have required stairs. And so he couldn't go down the stairs, so we had to take an elevator. And then that elevator required him to get to the stage by walking along the side of the audience. And he was so nervous about getting stopped by somebody and then having a crowd gather around him. He did not want anything to do with the folks who were there in the audience. And I remember him kind of pushing the person in front of him, go, 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 let's go. And it was like really eye-opening into just how important his privacy was to him. That said, once we got on stage, the audience was so warm and welcoming. And I remember I said, Paul Allen, welcome back to Seattle, because he'd been on his book tour, and the audience was just this groundswell of emotion. And I think it unlocked something in him, because he was so candid in that interview. And at one point I even asked him about his yachts, and I kind of hit him with a real short question. Tell us about your yachts. And I could tell he was shocked, and he never would have said anything about it, but he just opened up and talked about the submarine and going down.
Didn't he say there are too many and they're too big?
Yeah. What else do I need to say? And I remember he was hoping that I would move on after he said, what else do I need to say? And I just was quiet and let it hang there, and he kept going. So at any rate, it really was a fascinating window. But I got to say, we talked to him back in 2017 as well, just last year. The thing that struck me about that conversation was he was still very engaged with what is and was happening in technology and the future and artificial intelligence and the promise of combining technology and brain science, all these things that represented his interests. He really was still very engaged up until the end.
You mentioned the yachts, and I think that's a good jumping off point to talk about what happens next, because he does have these yachts. He does have these sports teams. He does have these museums. He does have this art collection that's massive. Like, what happens now?
That is a great question, and we are going to answer that question as best we can right after this break. You're listening to The Week in Geek on GeekWire. It's Todd Bishop with John Cook, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. We are talking about the life and many legacies of Paul Allen this week. The Microsoft co-founder passed away at the age of 65 after his third bout with cancer this week. A big shock to many people in the community because it happened so quickly. It also raises so many questions about the future simply because of the many, many, many things that he was involved in. We talked about some of them in the first segment, but everything from sports teams to a brain institute to artificial intelligence. He funded
the Flying Heritage collection of World War II artifacts and tanks and airplanes. It's super cool.
And here's the thing.
Again,
this keeps
happening
to me. If I
were a billionaire, I would probably want all that cool stuff. You know?
This keeps happening to me this week. Stuff keeps coming up.
Yeah.
You forget.
You forget like everything that he's involved in.
Absolutely. Yeah. Elephant conservation in Africa. He was one of the key people who funded the fight against Ebola. I mean, this was a guy who had a huge impact, not only in the Pacific Northwest, as we were saying, but on other parts of the world, which is why I'm still a little bit mystified that he didn't get more attention on his passing. That said, all of those many interests leave many, many questions. What do we know about what's next for all his stuff?
We don't really know much, because his company that he runs or ran, Vulcan, is not saying much. And I think they want a grieving period. They're not putting out much commentary about what does happen next. Paul Allen was a unique case, I think, as it relates to the amount of wealth that he accumulated. Mm-hmm. The secondary component of this that is unique is he never married.
Right.
He didn't have any kids. And so he has a sister, Jody Allen, who we presume is taking over the vast fortune. And now I say presume because we actually don't know. Is this all tied up in a trust operated by Vulcan? Is this now operated by Jody? It's unclear. And I think we're trying to figure that out, because this does have a dramatic impact on so many elements, especially in Seattle. I mean, the amount of stuff related to Paul Allen and his legacy is immense. And so I think for figuring out where Seattle is going and what impact on anything from sports to museums to philanthropy to a lot of different things, we're going to have to try to figure out what happens now.
Yeah, I just remembered, by the way, one other thing that we haven't even talked about yet, and that is him assembling about 50 acres of land in South Lake Union, the neighborhood just north of downtown Seattle that was originally proposed to be a giant central park for Seattle called the Commons, was voted down by the citizens and then later turned into a massive development that became Amazon's headquarters.
Yeah.
So you have this huge swath of influence. To me, I think it's highly unlikely that anybody but Paul Allen, even his sister, can keep all of these things stitched together, sustained, and going forward in the way that he did during his lifetime. It seems impossible.
A little bit of the rub on Paul Allen was that he kind of liked the flavor of the day and that he would get interested in brain science and then put a lot of money towards it. Or he would get interested in World War II vintage airplanes and then put a lot of money. And he bounced around into a lot of different things. And you would think that potentially, especially as you're trying to manage all of those different assets, that there would be a potential trimming of what is – and just for the pure management sake of it and how it's operated. Now, Vulcan as an operation may be such a well-oiled machine that each individual entity is going to be able to cruise independently on its own. I'm not certain that's the case.
It's really unprecedented as far as I'm concerned. If you look at the breadth and variety of – his estate. And I think that it's something that is going to be a story that plays out probably over the coming years.
And I mentioned Jodie Allen, his sister. What is her role going to be? What does she step up and do? What is she interested in? If she does have ownership and takes the assets that we're talking about here and she is in control, she might have a different philosophy or interests. I'm sure she does.
I think anybody would have to.
You're not a clone.
No, exactly.
And so that person is going to have potentially a tremendous amount of impact on the things she's interested in. So we need to learn more about her.
And we should point out she has actually been an executive leader at Vulcan.
And I think with some mixed results too. I think she's been in and out of leadership there. And I think power has waxed and waned for her. I'm fascinated to see where this goes because, as we've said, it has so many pieces to it that impact a lot of people's lives in Seattle.
One of the most interesting things to me was Bill Gates's assessment of Paul Allen's impact. And I think it ties into what we're talking about because if you look at what Paul Allen did with Bill Gates in starting Microsoft, it was very focused. They had a vision. It was a computer on every desk and in every home. And that was the public version of the vision. And then there was a private version of the vision, which added running Microsoft software, which was something they decided not to keep touting after the antitrust era.
And they essentially did it.
Yes. To some extent, yes. Yeah. That said, that was a focus that they had and a vision. And then I think when Paul Allen went on his own, he got into all of these different areas. And to me, it's an interesting entrepreneurial question because if you're doing something new, running a startup, starting a new project, one of the things people tell you is focus, focus, and you'll have the biggest impact. Somehow, did he defy that or are we just not seeing what he could have done if he had had more focus?
I think he probably did struggle from a lack of focus as it relates to the second or third act of his business career and many of the investments that he was involved in, which there is, to put it nicely, there was a mixed track record on that.
In terms of his return on those investments.
In terms of his return, in terms of his success with what he invested in, there were a lot of things that really hit the wall in a big way. And so not everything he touched turned to gold, certainly. And I think he really disliked this book by the title of The Accidental Zillionaire, which came out several years ago. In fact, I think him writing his autobiography, Idea Man, was almost a counterpunch to this book because there was an impression, and I think it was an unfair impression, frankly, that it was all luck that led to Paul Allen getting the enormous wealth that he did. That's not true. I mean, Paul Allen was instrumental in the early technology of creating Microsoft. He was rewarded very well for that. I think where things started to fall apart was maybe the post-Microsoft career, where he tried to use some of that money to invest in other things, and that didn't always go so well.
To that point, John, there was a great quote from his book, Idea Man, that came out in 2011 that speaks to all of this. He said a lot of his interests came from his childhood interests, things like sports and space and science. He was not, you know, sort of your stereotypical nerd. He was into sports and he loved all sorts of different things. And he said,
I don't know, he was kind of a stereotypical nerd. Well, in terms of,
I guess,
like, in terms
on,
of,
depends on your flavor of stereotype,
the description,
I guess,
of how you were talking about him entering the stage in the interview that you did, yeah, at Town Hall with him. I think there were a lot of nerdy aspects to him.
For sure. He wrote in the book, quote, "Some people are motivated by a need for recognition, some by money, and some by a broad social goal. I start from a different place, from the love of ideas and the urge to put them into motion and see where they might lead." That's pretty darn cool.
Yeah, and I think he did do that. I mean, I think a lot of the projects he was involved in were kind of experiments, some offbeat, some a little, you know, what is Paul Allen doing now, you know, type of thing, which it's great to have people that are throwing a little spaghetti at the wall every once in a while and seeing what sticks.
Do we have folks in the community now who are applying the enormous wealth that they've assembled?
I don't think so.
You don't think Jeff Bezos qualifies on the same scale?
No, definitely not on the same scale as Paul Allen. I mean, he's just starting his kind of post-Amazon life and philanthropic life. And that's another thing with Paul Allen. He was doing philanthropy before, in a big way, in Seattle, before Bill Gates, before Jeff Bezos, before almost any of these people. I mean, there's a legacy there in terms of him recognizing the importance of giving away his wealth pretty early on in his career. Maybe that had to tie into he had to leave Microsoft pretty early on and had enormous wealth and figure it out early. But still, he did that. And so I think that's a legacy of Paul Allen for certain, is his belief in philanthropy very early on in his life. And that should be applauded. And I don't see anybody else that's doing it in the way that he is, as it relates certainly to Seattle. I mean, Bill Gates is, we often talk about Bill Gates is doing this on a global level and attacking problems on a global level. But I don't think there's anyone doing it in Seattle the way Paul Allen did.
Well, for anybody who wants to learn more about Paul Allen, a few resources that you can turn to. His book, Idea Man, published in 2011, was an excellent read. And he has a museum in SoTo, right north of the Starbucks headquarters in Seattle, called the Living Computers Museum and Labs. And the cool thing there is all the machines are running, and they've got not just museum pieces, but actual working equipment that you can try and really explore how technology evolved. Of course, it'll be fascinating to see what happens to MoPop and all the other institutions that he created. I think it's going to be an interesting couple of years in the realm of Paul Allen's legacy.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you for listening, everybody. Be sure to check GeekWire for all of our coverage, including a fascinating look at the different types of cancer that Paul Allen battled, how it shaped his vision of his life, and ultimately his own legacy. Lots of fascinating coverage to dig into. Just go to geekwire.com, look for the special coverage of Paul Allen, the Microsoft co-founder who passed away this past week at the age of 65. Until next time, I'm Todd Bishop.
And I'm John Cook.
Thanks for listening to GeekWire.